upstairs for our junior church. You can be dismissed at this time. Brother Mike will be teaching this morning, so you guys have the opportunity to go down there and listen to Brother Mike speak and have a time there. So you guys can be dismissed. I about forgot about it. There he goes. He's sneaking off the side and said, where are they going? all right. Good to have you young people today. I'm glad y'all are here. Man, what a beautiful bunch of young ladies there, you know? I tell you what, need to get some boys in here because one of these days they're going to be looking for a pretty girl. And what about the best place to find a pretty girl is in the house of God, someone that loves the Lord, right? Thank God for what he's given us here. I'm thankful for what God is doing. Today I want to preach a message, and I want us to be thinking about this. I want us to be thinking about in the awe of God. In the awe of God. Now, that word awe, it is a powerful word. Really, the only person that deserves for us to be in awe of is God. And because there's none greater. But, you know, there's been some things in my life that I've seen that I've sort of been in awe of. I can think of one thing. One time me and Chase Witten, we were over at his house. And you guys know that Chase rode motorcycles his whole life and competed professionally. And we're good friends, but he's like a little brother to me. I just appreciate his friendship, and we've just had a great friendship. I was able to go over and spend some time with him here this past week, it was week before last, at a men's fellowship he was having at the church he now pastors, Meadowbridge Missionary Baptist Church. But I remember being over his house one time, and we was there with a couple other guys we went to school with down in Knoxville, Tennessee, that were preachers. They were young men, in their 20s, and we was teaching them how to ride. Let them ride motorcycles there a little bit and teach them how to ride and different things like that. But they was going around pretty slow, and I'd get on the motorcycle, and it had a little track there, and I'd go around a little bit faster. I'm not near as fast as Chase, but that bike I was on was pretty powerful. Before you knew it, buddy, it was gone. I mean, it was get up and go. And I can remember, after letting him ride for just a little while, Chase got on that bike, no helmet, no protective gear, no nothing, and he runs around this little jump that I might have went over a couple times and jumped it a little bit. He hits that jump so fast and so hard that there was a great big oak tree. What we had was we had a jump right here, had an oak tree here. I mean, it was way tall up in the air. I mean, a big oak tree. And on the other side of that oak tree, it went down into a valley, and then it came back up. I mean, a deep little valley. It went down a good 60, 70, 80 yards probably. Well, he hit that jump, nothing on, and he, on his head or anything like that, I mean, protect him or whatever, no boots to protect his ankles. And he, next thing I know, he is on the top of that tree going across there, and he's as high as the highest place on that tree, and he's soaring through the air, and he's going down and coming down in that valley. So he's in the air for a big period of time before he landed. I was sitting like this. I just went. I was thinking a lot of things. Boy, I'm impressed. Boy, that boy is stupid. And then I was thinking, he's going to die. But with confidence and the skill that he had, he landed the bike right in the perfect place, came up out of there. When he came up top of the hill, I just jumped on him. I said, "You idiot!" I said, "You ought to at least put a helmet. You're going to get killed doing stuff like that. You ought to have something on your head at least to protect you. I mean, don't ever do that again." But I was really in awe of what he just did, because there's no way in the world I could have ever done that. I could have never got the nerve up to even try that. But I was impressed. But you know what? God, he's done so much more to impress us. He's an awe-inspiring God. And I think it's important that we know that we ought to be in the awe of God. But I think that we need to consider what the awe of God brings to our life. I think one of the greatest tragedies today in our world and in our nation and even in our churches is this, that Christians have lost the awe of God. You think about it. Have you ever done anything above and beyond, or something maybe greater than what you thought even possible with your life? Do you know why you would have done that for God? Because you were once in the awe of God. He inspired you. But now maybe your life is just drifting and it's just really meaningless in a way. It doesn't have any substance to it. But maybe the problem is this, that maybe you're no longer in the awe of God. Man, I'm going to tell you, in the awe of God is a great place to be. In the awe of God, we find the favor of God. If you'll get in the awe of God, you'll find favor upon your life. I want you to look at these verses that we're going to read in Psalms 33. I want you to consider, I want to look at read verses 1 through 8, through 9 maybe, and then I want to jump over and I want to read verse number 18. In Psalms chapter 33, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous." By the way, if you're a child of God, you are a righteous in the blood of Christ today. So why should we rejoice? Because Jesus Christ made it possible. Rejoice. Hey, this word rejoice is not something that is just something that's done in a quiet little casual way. I mean, rejoicing is something we ought to get excited about. You know what? We rejoice. The very depths of our heart, the very depths of our essence rejoices in what Christ has done for us. It says rejoice. Man. O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with a harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. By the way, God expects things done right. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all the works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness, judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths of the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. Then look what it says in verse number 18. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." This idea of fear here is that awe of God. The respect of God and who He is. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. We could say the favor of the Lord is upon the eye of them that fear Him. I don't know anybody in this room or anybody in their right mind that would not want the favor of God upon their lives. I want to tell you, child of God, if you're here today, you are saved, you're on your way to heaven, and you have everything that you need to live in the favor of God. I want to tell you, your life in the favor of God, that touch, that blessing, that strength. Oh, I want to tell you that power. It's all possible for your life. Living in the favor of God. You'll say, "Pastor, man, in the world that we live in, how wicked. Have you not been watching the news? Have you not heard what's going on? Oh, my gracious, how in the world can you expect us to live righteously and in the favor, being God's favor in the day and age that we live in?" Well, let me tell you about a person that lived in even a more wicked way, a more wicked day than we live in today. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. and it repented, or the Lord was sorry for the very day that He created man. The Lord repented, the Lord, that He had made man on earth, and it grieved Him as in His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But I love those places where the Lord changes things around, where that word but comes in there. But God. Them kind of places in the Bible. But it says, but Noah found grace. Or, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You know what? Us living in the awe of God is favorable to God. God will be gracious to us if we stand in awe of Him. God will be gracious to us. God's favor will be on our life if we stand in awe of God and who He is. You know, the word awe means a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. That's the noun to the meaning of the word awe. But the verb is to inspire with awe. See, in return, as we admire God, as we are overwhelmed with respect to Him, with fear or with awe and wonder, God inspires us to move out and to live for Him, to be in His favor, to be obedient to what He would have for us. In awe of God. You know what? If you're standing in the awe of God, what God asks you to do is not going to be a questionable. It's not going to be something you want to say, oh God, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, if you stand in the awe of God and who He is, you'll know all things are possible through Him. The awe of God. After all, the only one who is truly awesome is God. You know what? If we're in the awe of God, we will be obedient, humble, loving, and yielded towards God. You know what? Awesome. He's an awesome God. He's extremely impressive. Wouldn't you agree? That's what the word awesome means. He's extremely impressive or inspiring. God is awesome for so many reasons. He's awesome in His creation, as we just read in Psalms 33. He's awesome in His grace. I don't know about you, but that grace, I think a better word for that grace than amazing is awesome grace. Hey, He is awesome in His grace. Hey, none of us are worthy of salvation. None of us is worthy of the favor of God. None of us. But praise God, He's awesome in His grace. He's awesome in His protection. Has He not protected you this week? Has He not brought you back to this place this week? Hey, isn't He awesome in His protection? Can you think back on your life and see how things were? Can you think back on a time when you thought you might want something better, but God protected you from that, and you can thank Him for His protection in your life? God's protection is awesome. Awesome. And I want to tell you, no, the reason God is awesome today is His promises. Man, all the promises we have in the Word of God for the child of God, God cannot lie, and He's made those promises, and those promises you can take to the bank. God is awesome in His promises. God is awesome in His truth. God is awesome in His incapability to lie. God is awesome in His incapability to fail. God is awesome in His incapability to let us go. I'm glad that I am signed, sealed, delivered. There's nothing that man can bring against me. There's no man that can pull me out. No man can cause me to lose my salvation. God is awesome. He's awesome in His trustworthiness. Man, that is an awe-inspiring God. Man, may all the inhabitants of the world, you know what? I would just like for the inhabitants of First Baptist Church to stand in awe of God this morning. If we were standing in awe of God this morning, I want to tell you, you want revival? You want your life changed? You want the power of God upon this ministry? The power of God upon your family? The power of God upon your life? We must stand in the awe of God. Man, we try. Oh, we just lose it if we're not careful in time. Hey, we maybe get weary. We maybe get tiresome. But we just lose the awe of God. Let me tell you, God's been good to you. God's been more than good. He's been awesome in your life. What a God we serve this morning. What an awesome God, man. I'm getting carried away throwing papers everywhere. You know what? If there's anyone who would not want to walk in the favor of this awesome God, I guess I can't imagine it. You know what? This favor is approval, acceptance of us. His provision as a divine energy, His joy. These all are the expressions of His awesomeness and our favor with Him. Do you feel like you are walking in the awe of God? I'm going to ask some questions this morning. If you're taking some notes, I'd like for you to jot these things down and maybe think about them in your mind. But this is the first question I want to ask you. Do you feel like you're walking in the awe of God? Hey, do you sense His favor in your life? Do you see evidence that God is guiding what you say, where you look, where you go, how you live? Do you sense these things in your life? You know what? Noah lived in a very wicked world, but it says he found favor, he found grace in the eyes of God. I think it is safe to say that Noah knew God was awesome. When you think about what was going on in that day, you think about what he was up against, even in his preaching. God came to him and told him to build an ark in a time when there was no rain. But you know what? More awesome than the task of building an ark, he thought God was awesome and knew it was possible. Do you sense God's favor, guidance, kindness, and forgiveness in your life? Are you in the awe of God this morning? Do you sense God's favor? Or do you feel you're just out there alone trying to get through life your own way? Trying to figure it all out? I want to tell you this morning, step in the awe of God and you'll know you're never alone. The awe of God. You know, when you stand in the awe of God, you sense God's presence in your life in a very special way. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes into their life to seal them as a child of God. And in the process of doing so, God intended for them to sense His favor, feel His favor, to experience His favor. And that's the awesome love of God that has been poured out to save them from their sin. Does your lifestyle, habits indicate to people around you that you have found favor with an awesome God? Think about it. Think about it. Are you in awe of God? Is there anything in your life that would cause people to think God is not awesome? Child of God. Do you stand in awe of God? Is it evident by the lifestyle that you live? You know what? If a person is in the awe of God, it will be evident by three things: their conversation, their character, and their conduct. You're in the awe of God, I want to tell you, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change your life. If you're in the awe of God, you're going to be obedient to God. It ain't going to be, you're not going to be fighting every turn you go and every step that He wants you to take. You're going to be obedient. But we got to get in the awe of God. Last week I talked about this nailing it to the cross, how our flesh needs to be nailed to the cross. And I'm thankful how people respond. And I even heard the testimony of one teenager. I asked him this question. I said, "What did you nail to the cross?" And he said, "I nailed that I've been lying to my parents." That seemed like I could not help myself, but I nailed that to the cross, and I don't want to lie anymore to my parents. He was getting the message. We serve an awesome God. He died on that cross for our sin, making it possible for us to be reconciled to God, no more having to be prisoners of the flesh. God help us to understand He is all. He is an awesome God. Now, is God evident in the life we live? I said before, the greatest tragedy in today's world is that Christians have lost their awe of God. For it is the awe of God that drives us to do the will of God. How true that is. Now, I'm starting a series. I want to talk to you about one thing today. Okay, I've not got to my message yet, but I hope you get the understanding of where we're going today. The awe of God. In the awe of God. K capital I, capital N, in the awe of God. Now, first of all, some of the evidence that a person is in the awe of God. We see these things from the life of Noah. First of all, if a person is in the awe of God, they're listening to God. If a person is in the awe of God, they're listening to God. So the question is, have you been listening to God in your life? How many of you believe God speaks to us? Amen. Aren't you thankful that He can impress upon our hearts? He can speak to us. And that small, still voice oftentimes, it's just so loud sometimes when we take time to quiet down and listen to God. But are you listening to God? You know what? Until you learn to listen to God, you're living outside of His favor. You will be living outside of His will and justifying what you want to do. But when you start listening to God, things begin to change. And by the way, listening is more than just saying, okay, here, I heard it. Listening is taking it in and obeying. At least listening is saying, you know what? God said it. I'm therefore, I'm going with it. You know, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 32 and verses 8 through 9, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Hey, it says, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou should go. Who is this God speaking to His people and saying, I will instruct thee. I will teach to thee. I will talk to thee. Listen for my voice. You know what? In order for me to know the will of God, the first lesson I must learn is to listen. The first lesson that I must learn is to listen. I had a preacher one time come up to me, a young preacher. He said, I just don't believe anybody can know the will of God. I want to tell you what that preacher should have done is quit preaching and get back somewhere where he can learn what the will of God is. I'm thankful that we can know the will of God. And the first thing if we're going to ever learn the will of God or be in the will of God, we must learn to listen. God speaks to us by His Word. Others and circumstances. When you pray, do you take time to listen? When you pray, do you take time to listen or do you do all the talking? Take time to listen to God. The Holy Spirit came into our life to be our eternal guide and director. He gives us awareness of what's happening. He gives us the answer to the questions that we cannot figure out. I don't know, I still believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How about you? I still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. How about you? Amen. God speaks to us. When we read or hear a message, do you listen for God's voice? You know, from the get-go this morning when we started singing, I said, be listening for the message. Be listening for the message. Be listening for the voice of God. Hey, when you pray, do you listen for the voice of God? When you read, when you hear a message, do you listen for God's voice? Learning to listen to God is the basic lesson for learning how to be a godly person. Secondly, under this idea of listening to God, if we are going to listen, we must learn to identify His voice. If we're going to listen, say, well, Pastor, I want to be in the awe of God. Well, I want to tell you, if we're going to listen to Him, we must identify His voice. I'm afraid that too many Christians today are listening to a lot of wrong voices that aren't God's. We say, yeah, I got a bunch of voices in my head. Well, go see a psychiatrist. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm saying we need to identify the voice of God. Now, how do we identify the voice of God? You know what? I want you to answer this question once again. This is sort of geared another way. But I want you to be honest before God. Do you know how to listen to God? I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I want you to answer that to yourself. Be honest before God. Do you know how to listen to God? Are you aware when God is speaking to you? Are you aware when God is speaking to you? From the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here, I want to tell you, we can know and we can be aware of when God is speaking to us. If you are a child of God this morning and Jesus Christ is your King, He is your Lord, He is your Savior, if the Holy Spirit indwells you and a Holy Father has you, I want to tell you, we can know when God is speaking to us. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Would you have to agree with that? Because He's awesome in His omniscience. He's awesome in His omnipresence. He's awesome in His omnipotence. And He knows how to say it in a way that we can understand it. You know, the simplicity of it. He knows how to say it so we can understand it. Now, I want to tell you, that's awesome. That's awesome this morning. Every day we should want to listen to God from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep at night. If we're going to identify God's voice, we must realize some things. And here they are. First of all, it will always be consistent with the Scriptures. It will always be consistent with the Scriptures. If you think you got something, God led you to do something that's contrary to what the Scriptures say, you best understand that's not the voice of God that you're listening to. It will always be consistent with Scripture. It may be in conflict with human reasoning, but it won't be in conflict with the Scriptures. If you obey God, it will not always be a reasonable thing to do. God knows your past, He knows your present, He knows the future, your ability, skill, and He knows His will for your life. If you obey God, it will always not be reasonable. You know what? This is how people try to reason things. You know, we're experts at that, aren't we? Well, there's people that were trying to reason their way out of not being in the house of God this morning. We try, oh God, you can't be telling me to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. They've reasoned away by their human thinking. I want to tell you something else. We try to reason away the will of God. Well, God, you surely wouldn't expect to do that in my life. You know who I am. There's no way I could accomplish that in my life. And we try to, there's no reasonable way, God. I can remember at the age of 38 being called to go to Bible college. I've already just built my first house. I mean, it was about finished. We had the place that we loved to build, that we loved to have, and what we wanted, and everything else. But God says, I want you to go. I remember, oh, Lord, it's not reasonable. I got a good job. It's not reasonable, Lord. I could go back a little further than that, even working at ABB in the lab over there and thinking this. Lord, you don't want me to preach. As I was sitting there, had it made, sit down most of the day, push buttons, and make a good paycheck. I mean, I was making good money. I said, Lord, it's not reasonable that I go into preaching. I'll never have anything. Lord, I got a family to take care of. It's not reasonable. And I remember for years I'd reasoned that away, but God had a way of taking, He took care of that problem. He can take care of the excuses. Reasonable. It's not always reasonable. We just need to obey. You know what? Secondly, it will always be consistent with Scripture. Secondly, it will always conflict with fleshly desires. It will always conflict with fleshly desires. I just preached that message last week about crucifying the flesh in our lives so that we can have the victory and so we can live in that favor. If we're living for the flesh, we'll never have the favor of God upon our life. And I want to tell you, God's voice will always conflict with fleshly desires. You will sense the conflict. I mean, have you ever dealt with something you felt like God was dealing with you about, and maybe God's saying, you know what, that's wrong. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to do this. And there's this struggle going on inside. There's this conflict going on inside. And what it is, we are struggling against our fleshly desires. And we're defeated when we pick that flesh off of that cross. You know, one thing, you may be somebody in here today, you know what, God's been speaking to me about something, but I just don't want to do it. Well, it may be a good reason, it may be a reason why it is the voice of God speaking to you, because your flesh is resisting it. Dad, maybe God's working on you to be a spiritual leader in your home. Be the man that leads your family to God each and every day. And you say, well, if I do that, I'm going to have conflict. Yeah, you're going to have conflict. But I want to tell you, you want to walk in the favor of God, you'll be the man of God that God saved you to be in your home. Wife, you may be in conflict whether you want to be to accept your role in the house and in the family that God has put you in. You may be struggling with that. I want to tell you, God's telling you, you know what? Just follow me. Hey, just obey me. Hey, I got it all figured out. I got a plan. I know what works. I know how you're created. I know everything about you. I know what you feel like. I know every intricate thing about you. Just obey me. Something says, I don't want to do that. That's the conflict. The voice of God, it'll never conflict against Scripture. It'll never be anything opposite of what Scripture tells us. The voice of God will be also, it'll be in conflict with the fleshly desires. But thirdly, oftentimes, it will challenge your faith. The voice of God will challenge your faith to do what you think you're not capable of doing. Remember, when God gives a command, He accompanies that command with His power, His strength, His energy, and He knows how in order for you to do what He has called you to do. So it's going to challenge your faith. You know, it's easy to accept something that's telling you, well, that's absolutely something I can do. Yep, I can accomplish that. Yep, I'm qualified. Man, when you got to step out by faith and just trust God, that voice is telling you, you know what? This is the man you need to be. This is the woman you need to be. This is the young person that you need to be. When that steps out by faith, the God, how in the world could I ever accomplish that? And he says, put your faith in me. The voice of God will challenge you in your faith. Fourthly, sometimes it calls for courage in your life. The voice of God calls for courage in your life. How many of you believe that we ought to be courageous as Christians? We ought to have some courage. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we cower down. We're scared. My gracious, we look at the coronavirus as being something more awesome than God. Sometimes it takes some courage to do what you know that God has led you to do. And know that's what a child of God ought to be doing. Standing in awe of God. God, you sure want me to do this? You sure, God? Lord, that's a big thing. Lord, I'm a little scared. And God says, yes, I want you to do that. Take courage. You know what? God does not call you without giving you everything necessary to enable you to do it. Number five, He speaks quietly. I think of my own life, and I'm like, God, if you really want me to do that, give me this big sign. Lord, speak loudly. Knock me off of my rocker. But you know what? He doesn't shout. You know what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Trinity, whispers to us. Some of us are listening for a shout when we ought to just be listening for the voice. He is not going to shout because the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son whisper to us. And He says, this is my will. You know what? Also, He speaks very clearly. I love this. He speaks very clearly. He never says, figure this out. We confuse things, don't we? Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, I know. I mean, come on. If you ever in your life, you knew absolutely, this is what God has for me. This is what God has instructed me to do. And it was very clear, so clear, that it about scared you to death. He speaks very clearly. I'm glad that God's word is clear. How about you? I'm glad that we don't have to worry about any gray areas in the word of God. It's very clear. I'm glad that we can take the word of God literally. We can take the word of God literally. Amen? We can take the word of God literally. I'm glad it's there for our benefit. I'm glad it's there for us not to have to be trying to figure things out. We don't have to worry about how we can be saved. We can know how that we're saved. You know what? There's someone in here today, maybe, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to tell you, the Word of God tells us that we can know, that we know, that we know that we're a child of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every person that's ever been born that is born into sin. That means every person needs a Savior. They have fallen short of the glory of God. It don't matter how sweet your grandma is. It don't matter how sweet your child is. Every person is in need of a Savior because they have fallen short of the glory of God. But it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, there is a penalty for sin, and if you don't know Christ as your Savior, something happens, you leave this world, you're going to die and go to a place called hell for all eternity. You'll burn, you'll burn, you'll burn, you'll burn. Torture, torture, torture. Never have a chance of it ever ending. And the Bible is very clear. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't think it gets any plainer than that. There's a hell. There's a wage for sin. But praise be God, there's a gift that's been given that gives, saves our souls, that changes our eternal destiny, where we don't have to go to hell, where we don't have to go in a place of eternal torments. There's a way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say maybe, this or that, maybe, or possibility. It says whosoever. And I want to tell you, there's nobody in this world that's not a whosoever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the question is, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Has there ever been a time you said, Lord, I see my sinful condition. I see my helplessness. I'm calling on your name. I'm asking you to come in and be Lord and Savior of my life. I yield my very existence to you, God. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and sit upon the throne of my heart. And you take over my ego. It's a supernatural transaction that only God can make. When God speaks to us, it's clear. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, God just spoke to me in this auditorium this morning. I don't know who you are. I don't know why I went there with that this morning, but there's somebody in here who may need to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior today. You know that you're lost and on your way to hell. You've heard it one more time, that how you can know Christ. Don't leave this place without having it settled. God speaks to us in a clear way. And by the way, the beginning of God speaking to us, beginning of God's voice in our life is at salvation. God, woo, what an awesome God. Man, are you listening to His voice this morning? Not listening to this preacher up here yelling and hollering and spitting, but listening to the voice of God this morning. Are you listening to the message? He speaks quietly. He speaks very clearly. God also, He speaks personally. He will never say you all, but He speaks personally to us. You know, He may direct us as a fellowship to do so and so, but He speaks personally and individually to people. Me and my wife, many times God has led us, maybe in a missions conference or someone have need, and God has laid us what we ought to give on our hearts. And it maybe it might have been $100 or $20 or $200. And may say, I look over to Missy in the service, she says, what do you feel like that we ought to give? Or she look over to me and said, what do you feel like we ought to give? And she says the exact amount that God has spoke to me about. But God spoke to us both personally. But as in a marriage, it just reconfirms, man, the voice of God is awesome. And God has blessed it every time that we've been obedient to His voice. God blesses it every time that you're obedient to His voice. Oh God, may we stand in awe of You. May we listen to You, dear God, and see. That's part of it. That's part of staying in awe. As you obey that voice, as you're obedient to that voice, seeing what all God does. And you sit back. I want to tell you, I look back on my 48 years, and I look back at the times that I've listened to the voice of God, and I was like, God, You're awesome. I look back on times when, you know what, there was other voices in my head trying to tell me to do things I shouldn't do and say, you know what, it's all right, just go that route. And then it was the voice of God that was louder, thank God. And I was able to obey that voice, and it made all the difference in my way I went with my life. Oh, the voice of God is awesome. God speaks personally. You know what? He loves you enough to speak to you about your situation. He loves you enough to speak to you about your marriage, your children, your finances, even who you're going to marry. Maybe Hannah's listening to this today. God speaks to us. You know, I guess most of y'all know she got engaged this past weekend. It's hard letting your little girl go, but I'm praying for God to bless it. God speaks clearly and personally to us and about every single care we have, even the things that we are not concerned about. Even the things we're not concerned about. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He speaks to us. You may be sitting here right now in this auditorium today and God's speaking to you about something you're not really concerned about. But you know what? It's something we should be concerned about. Thank God He speaks to us about these things. If you're not listening to God, who you are, if you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? That's a sobering question. If you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? You know, someone, you're listening to someone who doesn't really know you like God knows you. People can influence your life to live it the way they want you to live it. The one who indwells us is the one who is listening, who we are to listen to above anyone else in our life, no matter who they are. It may very well be your spouse. It may very well be a close friend. But we are to listen to the voice of God above anyone else. Well, God, Pastor, you're saying God can use people to speak to you. And yes, He can. But He's still, you got to go by the things. He's not going to contradict His word. Hey, God, you got to identify the voice of God speaking to them, to you. And sometimes people have good intentions, but they're destroying what God's trying to do. God is doing. Because God is awesomely infinite in His wisdom, He knows your potential. His will, His purpose, His plan for your life. He knows what's best suits you, where you should live, what you should drive. He knows. He knows everything about us. Consult Him. Now, here's a question again. Would you say you're a listener? Would you say you're a listener? Do you listen to the message? Do you listen to those speaking the truth? Do you listen to the message in songs? Do you listen to God? It is a sacred duty, absolutely essential in our relationship to God, to listen to God. Folks, it's not a religion. It's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not some tradition. It is a relationship with God. If I did not listen to my wife, my relationship would be awful. And if you don't listen to your husband, your relationship's going to be awful. We get communication. And I want to tell you, the voice of God is essential to the relationship with God. Now, I got to finish up here. How does God get our attention? Now, I'm sitting here talking to people today, and I know that God gets our attention in different ways. I can ask people to say, well, how has God got your attention with his voice? How did he get your attention where you listen to him? And you would all give me different ways. But I'm going to give you some ways so you can identify them. It won't be true for everybody the same way, but these are things that God uses. First of all, our feeling of restlessness. How does God get our attention? Our feeling of restlessness. We get this anxiety, we get this restlessness, and we don't know what's going on. And God's trying to speak to us. He's saying, listen to me, I want you to hear my voice. And we start reasoning out, well, I'm doing too much of this here. I'm doing too much of that there. Oh, well, and it's just a rat race. Anybody got so wrapped up with their kids before, you felt like, you know what, all I'm doing is running back and forth, and I just can't have any peace. And there's just a restlessness going on, and God's all along trying to say, make me a priority in your life. But maybe for many other reasons, we got jobs. We get up in the morning, first thing we think about is what all we're going to be doing for the day. This is what we're going to accomplish. That business owners, different ones. You got all these things. You start clicking, clicking, clicking. You think, oh, I got to get a way to get rid of this restlessness. But you know what? God has an amazing way of going through all the pages of our mind to get to the place that the really problem is. And he wants us to just say, you know what? Listen to me. He'll work through that. You know what? That's not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is, I want you to listen to me. God, help us to listen for his voice and understand that God can use restlessness. God can use, Lord, I just don't know why I feel this way. God, you've stirred the nest. God, what are you doing in my life? Well, just be quiet. Get rid of all the excuses of all the other things for the restlessness and listen to God and allow him to direct your path. Also, God, he speaks to us. He speaks to us through this. It gets our attention through others. Through the message from someone else. Sometimes someone else has to be the avenue through which God speaks. God wants your attention. You know what? When someone tells you that God wants them to tell you something, where's a good thing to think about and consider? What kind of person they are, who is this, and what kind of life are they living? Who is this, and what kind of life are they living? There's a lot of people out there who give you a lot of bad advice. I want to tell you, if you want some advice for your marriage, don't go to someone that's had 4 or 5 marriages. Go to someone that's knew what it means to stay together and work through things. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful about the message from someone else, and be careful about the message you give someone else. We always like to give advice, don't we? Well, you know, this is what you ought to do. And as a pastor, I have to do that quite a bit. I mean, it's just part of my job. But I need to be careful. Before you give someone else direction, make sure it's the right in your life. How God gets our attention. Here's another way, and this is the preferred way. I love this way. God, Lord, this is how I want you to get my attention all the time. But it's not always very often the way he does get our attention, but he does use this by blessing us. You know, I was sitting here this morning and I was praying about this message, and I said, God, I just want to be in awe of you today. And you know what he reminded me of today? He reminded me of the blessings in my life, my family, the blessings of what he's done in the past, the blessings that I have today. And I want to tell you, it wasn't just very shortly that I began to weep and cry and say, oh, God, you're awesome. God has a way to get our attention through blessing us. Hey, I prefer this way. I like this way, but it's not oftentimes that we respond right to this. Sometimes we can become very unthankful and we don't even recognize where all the blessings have come from. You know what? When we stop and think how good God is to us, God has our attention. God is good, isn't he, church? Amen. You know, also, God answers prayer. Unanswered prayer will get our attention. God's unanswered prayer will get our attention. I remember praying for some things, and I look back now, God didn't answer that prayer. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we know that God always answers prayers. It's not always with a yes. It can be with a no. We got to always remember God's timing. Sometimes God will prolong maybe the answer to that prayer because God is saying, now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. Listen for my voice. God desires for us to have a prayer life so we can pray. You will never have powerful prayers or powerful answers to prayer unless you have a prayer life. A life that reflects what a child of God should be. God knows how to get our attention. And He knows how to make us intense too. Yeah, through prayers and supplication. It talks about the fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. I want to tell you what those are. Them are intense prayers. You ever been moved so much that, my gracious, you wrestled in prayer. You were exhausted. It was so intense. God has a way of making us intense. You know what? It may take us almost to the point where we're losing the most precious thing in our life to drive us to a knees, to a place that we get intense about what God wants and about the will of God. It may take us to that place where we can finally hear Him speak. Another way that God gets our attention this morning is this. Failures. You know what? Failures sometimes get our attention. All failures are not bad. All failures are not bad. If failure is in any given area of life gets your attention and gets you on your knees before God, it's not all bad because it drives us to God. Man, I'm glad failures aren't final with the Lord. One of the best things maybe could happen to us is to fail. What we're pursuing or where we're going, drive us to our knees before God. Say, God, what do you want? Financial problems gets our attention. That's a good way. I think we all would say that. Yeah, you know what? When you don't know what you're going to do, when you lose your job, I went back earlier and told you, you know what? I remember working that job and saying, God, you wouldn't want me to be a preacher. And you know what happened? I got laid off, and I got laid off in alphabetical order. My boss was crying, saying, Kevin, I didn't know they was going to lay you off. But you know what? You know who laid me off? ABB didn't lay me off. God laid me off. When you go and you don't know if you're going to have the money to support your wife and your two kids, young kids, when you don't know what's going to happen, you know what? I thank God I lost that job. Yeah. I praise God for that. Because you know what? I heard the voice of God through it all. He proved Himself to me. Oh, and a great. I wouldn't trade any amount of money in this world for the voice of God. And you know what? He taught me through all that. I'm telling you what happened. I was just like, oh, I go to the mailbox. I go to the mailbox and there'd be a $400 check. You know what? The people I was coming from didn't even know I was laid off. He said, God felt like told me to give it to you. They'd been listening to the voice of God. And I was like, time and time again, I'm thankful that I can listen to the voice of God. You know what? I'm also thankful that other people can listen to the voice of God. You see how if we'll listen to the voice of God, how we all can be encouraged? Standing off. You know, another way is sickness may get our attention. Sickness may get our attention and hear God speak to us. Might be laying on your back and not being able to move that you're settled still long enough you can hear God speak to you. You know what? I'd rather be sick and God have my attention than healthy and not hear His voice. To be in awe of God, whatever it takes, it's worth it. Noah, in the middle of a wicked world, he was in favor of God. He was standing in awe of God. He listened to God. Ask yourself this question. Am I in awe of God? Am I in God's favor? Be honest. Are you walking in a pattern of what you want, or are you actually in His favor? Do you want what God wants? Are you walking in His Spirit, by His Spirit? Do I want what God wants for my life? God wants more for you than you want for yourself. You may have a good life, but God has the best life in store for you. View God as God, and you will be in awe of God and His wondrous works. Don't ever lose the awe of God. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Let all the inhabitants of the world, let everyone stand in awe of God. This morning, are you standing in awe of God? So you know what, Pastor? I've been listening, but God's never spoke to me. God don't speak to me. I want to tell you, God spoke to you. If you're in here and you're a child of God this morning, God has spoke to you. Salvation is the beginning of the voice of God in your life. He convicted you of sin. He showed you your need of salvation. You may be sitting in here today and you're lost, and God's speaking to you now. He's convicted you. You need Him. And that if you don't accept Him, you're going to die and go to hell. He's speaking to you very clearly. Oh, no, He's not. Is it ringing louder now? It's the voice of God convicting you. Will you respond to the voice of God this morning? Christian, have you been responding to the voice of God? May we all have a desire to stand in awe of God. May we understand each and every day we ought to be living in the awe of God. If we live in the awe of God, our lifestyles will be pleasing to God. Our conduct's going to be pleasing to God. Our character will be pleasing to God if we live in the awe of God. You think about all that God has done and all He's put in order, everything that's we're involved in. Man, take some time. Take some time to listen for the message. You know what it tells us about the Word of God? Even when we read the Word of God, what are we to do? We're supposed to meditate. You know what that's all about? Listening for the voice of God.